بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Speaking about the tawaf, which is the first major act that the person does when he is coming in for Umrah or Hajj, is the tawaf has certain conditions that must be fulfilled. First one is أن يراعي شروط الصلاة من طهارة الحدث والخبث في الثوب والبدن والمكان وستر العورة. فالطواف بالبيت صلاة، ولكن الله سبحانه أباح فيه الكلام. The first thing about the tawaf is that it is the conditions are exactly the same as the conditions of the salah. So a person must be clean from all impurities, just like a person must be clean for salah. His body must be clean, his clothing must be clean, the plates must be clean, and also he must cover his awra. So all those apply the same way that it applies in the salah, it also applies to the person making tawaf. This hadith that shows that the tawaf is equal to the salah. The only difference between the two is in the tawaf you are allowed to speak, whereas in salah you are not allowed to speak. So there are some minor differences, but all the other conditions that apply for salah will also apply for tawaf. Then there's something specific that is sunnah for males to do when they do their tawaf in terms of their clothing. So we said that awra must be covered. Obviously the minimal awra is the navel to the knees, including of the navel and the knees. But it is sunnah for the males to open their right shoulders when they make the tawaf. And this goes for all tawafs that is followed by a sa'i. All tawaf that is followed by sa'i, it is sunnah to make what is called al-ittiba'. Arabic word is al-ittiba', is to open the right shoulder. And that is for the entire tawaf and for the entire sahih also. Although during, between the tawaf and the sahih, we make two raka'at sunnah of the tawaf, and that time we close the shoulder again. Shoulder should not be open when we make salah. But after the salah, we can open it again for the sahih. So this is a sunnah that only males would apply, and it does obviously not apply to females. The second one is, the talbiyah. We already said the talbiyah is done from the time of ihram until the tawaf starts. Once we begin with the tawaf, the talbiyah will stop. Obviously the way that you make tawaf, he explained here that it must be in a way that the Kaaba is on your left, so it's always anti-clockwise. So that is something we don't have to explain, because I don't think anybody can walk the wrong way. There's always people making tawaf, so we don't have to explain which way to walk. We already explained about the Hajar al-Aswad, that you must start by the Hajar al-Aswad, but you must make sure that your whole body passes over the Hajar al-Aswad. So you start behind the point where the Hajar al-Aswad is on the Kaaba. And then of course the du'as, it is sunnah to make du'a in the tawaf. Any du'a is sufficient, whether it is normal askar, normal du'as from memory. You don't have to use the little booklets that they supply, although that helps you, but the booklets help you to at least know which round you are in, not to get confused, and also to help you along. But if you make your own du'as, even in your own language, all of that is fine. The only sunnah du'a that is highly recommended is between the Rukun Yamani and the Hajar al-Aswad, which is the last side of the Kaaba. There we always try to make the du'a of رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. So that is a sunnah du'a to be made on the last side of the Kaaba. Then of course, without having to say this, it must be 7 complete rounds. And it is also sunnah to make ramal in the first 3 rounds of the tawaf. أَنْ يَرْمُلَ فِي ثَلَاثَةِ أَشْوَاطٍ وَيَمْشِي فِي الْأَرْبَعَةِ. ومعنى الرمل الإسراع في المشي مع تقارب الخطى وهو دون العجل وفوق المشي المعتاد. رمل means to have a brisk walk around the Kaaba for the first 3 rounds only. The last 4 rounds will be normal walking. Again, this goes for mostly the males, not so much the females. Females is always built on subtlety, you know, and covering themselves and so on. But for the males, the sunnah to do this, and he explained what is raman. It's not running, it's not sprinting, and it is also not walking. So it's in between. It's like a jog, but a light jog where your footsteps are close to each other. Right? So it's in between running and walking. That is sunnah. And there's a background towards this. When the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came in for Umrah, there was some fever that was going on in Medina, and a lot of the Quraysh, they thought that the Muslims are weak, they are sick, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't want to give that impression. So he said to the Sahaba, when we do the tawaf, show them the power that you have. Make the tawaf a little bit faster, so that they can see, even if we are afflicted with some kind of illness, we are not weak in that sense, we are still strong enough to do what we have to do. So that became then a sunnah that continued. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did it after that again, in another tawaf after that, where he, and it's all only for a tawaf that is followed by a sa'i, the opening of the shoulder and the running, or rather the jogging for the first three rounds. For sunnah tawaf, no such thing applies. There's no opening of shoulder because you don't have a haram on, and also there's no need for the quicker first three rounds. It only applies to the tawaf that has a sa'i that follows it. Then of course you said about the Hajar al-Aswad, it is sunnah if a person can to kiss the Hajar al-Aswad on every round that a person goes around. This is impossible in our times because there's so much people there. So what you do instead of kissing the Hajar al-Aswad, you simply make istilam. So istilam is to point your two hands towards the Hajar al-Aswad and to say Bismillah, Allahu Akbar. And some books recommend that when you do that, that you kiss your hands instead of kissing the Hajar al-Aswad. So you point towards Hajar al-Aswad, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, and you kiss your hands. And the same is the sunnah in the Shafi'i school. There's a difference of opinion here across the madahib. But the Shafi'i school says that the same applies to the Rukun Yamani, which is the corner before the Hajar al-Aswad that points towards Yemen. So that particular corner, it is also sunnah to make istilam. Say Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, and to kiss the hands the same way that we would do for the Hajar al-Aswad. Then it is sunnah after the tawaf is complete, the seven rounds. After it is complete, he says, إِذَا أَتَمَّ الطَّوَافَ سَبْعًا فَلْيَأْتِ الْمُلْتَزَمُ وَهُوَ بَيْنَ الْحَجَرِ وَالْبَابِ وَهُوَ مَوْضِعُ اسْتِجَابَةِ الدَّعْوَةِ وَلْيَلْتَزِقْ بِالْبَيْتِ وَلْيَتَعَلَّقْ بِالْأَسْتَارِ الْكَعْبِ أَسْتَارِ الْكَعْبَةِ اللهم وليقل اللهم يا رب البيت العتيق أعتق رقبتي من النار. When the person is finished with the tawaf, it is sunnah to go to the area of the multazam. A lot of people have the wrong idea what is the multazam. We often think of the multazam as being the door of the Kaaba. Right? That's not the multazam. The multazam is a small area between the door of the Kaaba and the Hajar al-Aswad. It's a very small area between the door and the Hajar al-Aswad. That is called the multazam. It is sunnah after the tawaf to go to that area and to attach yourself to the Kaaba if you can. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and some of the Sahaba, they stood with their chest attached to the Kaaba at that particular point, and they made dua. If you obviously cannot do that, which is most likely the case again because of the crowd, then you go close to that area without touching your body to the Kaaba and you make dua. The dua is mustajab at that point of the multazam. So after the tawaf, you don't immediately go do the sa'i. You stand there at the multazam if you can, and you make some dua. And all the sunnah dua to be made is, O Allah, you are the Lord of the sacred house, of this ancient house. So free my neck from the fire of Jahannam. Free my neck from the fire of Jahannam. This is one of the du'as which is sunnah to be made at the multazam. It says, إِذَا فَرَغَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ يَنْبَغِي أَنْ يُصَلِّيَ خَلْفَ الْمَقَامِ رَكَعَتَيْنِ يَقْرَأُ فِي الْأُولَى قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ فِي الثَّانِيَ الْإِخْلَاصِ وَهُمَا رَكَعَتَ الطَّوَافِ. So the sunnah after the tawaf immediately is to make two sunnah raka'ats that belongs to the tawaf. It's not a must, but it is highly recommended. And that is best to be done behind the Maqam Ibrahim. Directly behind the Maqam Ibrahim. Again, we have to look at the circumstances. If these people making tawaf and the crowds are very big there, we don't force ourselves to make tawaf or make salah there. Rather move to the back, stand to an area that is out of the way for people making tawaf. Why I say this is because I've seen people force their way to make salah there. Because they know it's sunnah, so they want to make salah there, even though there's thousands of people making tawaf there. And that is really inconsiderate and it's irresponsible. Because you may get hurt, you may get trampled, you may get pushed around. And I've seen that people make salah, he starts off by the Maqam Ibrahim and try to make the salah and try to fend off people that are coming close by. And very soon you find that it's a good couple of meters away from the Maqam Ibrahim. So how do you make, you can't make salah like that, where people are pushing you and shoving you. So it's best to then, if it's very full, to stand not directly behind the Maqam Ibrahim, but further back. Doesn't matter how far back, right? Anywhere behind the Maqam Ibrahim. And if you cannot even do anywhere behind the Maqam Ibrahim, anywhere else is fine also. In the Haram, anywhere else is okay to do the 2 rak'ah sunnah. And it is best again to recite قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ أَنْ قُلْ وَاللَّهُ أَحَدٍ in the first and the second rak'ah. So those are some of the main points of the tawaf that must be done. And after the tawaf is finished, so depending again, if you're coming in for Umrah, then your next step will be to do the sa'i, between Safa and Marwa. On the other hand, if you came in with a hajj that is ifrad or qiran, in that case your tawaf will be done, which is called tawaf al-qudum, and then you will wait for the days of hajj to go to Arafah. You will remain in ihram for the days of hajj to arrive. For the person who's coming in with a hajj of tamattu, or the person who's just coming in for Umrah randomly, their duty will now be to go to Safa and Marwa to perform the sa'i between that. These are all just the basic rulings pertaining to these things. We will speak later on about the wisdom behind it and the deeper meaning and the history behind it. We will come to that point. Imam Ghazali has a special section that he speaks about all of that. Inshallah, we'll try to move through all of that as quickly as we can in the coming days. Wallah subhanahu wa ta'ala ala. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم ربنا أفرغ علينا صبرا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.